We saw the Lord completing a mission, if you like, in the city of Sychar in Samaria. There he had met the woman at the well, and after revealing her sin to her and after her confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, she went and told the men of the city, "Come see a man that told me all that I did." And we see revival breaking out in Samaria. And for 2 days, the Samaritans sat at the Lord's feet being taught, as it were. And then, following that, after he leaves the area of Samaria, he goes back down to Cana in the Galilee, and there he meets a nobleman whose son is sick back in Capernaum, or Capernaum, depending on where you're from. When this man hears that Jesus has come out of Judea in the Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said, "Except he see signs and wonders, he will not believe." And the nobleman said unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." And the Lord said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that the Lord spake and simply went back home. Now, at Cana to Capernaum, we did that on the bus. It took about 40 minutes on the bus, but it was, with the terrain, about half a day's journey. And because of the time of night that the nobleman met the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't until the next day that he got back to Capernaum. And when the servant came out and told the nobleman that his son was okay, he asked about what hour the son started his recovery, and it was the exact time that the Lord Jesus Christ had said to this man, "Go thy way, for thy son liveth." Jesus' first miracle in Cana demonstrated his power over time. With a natural fermentation of the grapes, he turned the water into wine in an instant. The second miracle he performs in Capernaum demonstrates his power over distance. He didn't need to go to Capernaum to heal the son. He was able to do it from Cana. And it's interesting how we saw last time the disciples spent so much time worrying about the material. And we can be like the disciples sometimes, worrying about our material issues rather than focusing upon our spiritual needs. We saw the Samaritans just wanting to spend time with Jesus. You know, this was all new to them. They were excited. Their lives had changed. They just wanted to sit at the Lord's feet and soak it all in and learn and listen. And then we see the nobleman just simply taking Christ at his word. And I wonder, out of those three people that we looked at last time, who are we like? Are we like the disciples, just focusing upon the material and missing the spiritual blessings? Are we like the Samaritans, just wanting to sit at the Lord's feet and take it all in? Are we like the nobleman, just simply taking God at his word? You know, how many times do we read the Bible and say, "Yeah, I know the Bible says this, but I want my prayer answered quicker. I want my situation to change." And we fail to understand what the Lord is doing to us because we can't see beyond our immediate circumstance. We come to a man in John chapter 5 that, if you like, you know, Joe said earlier how many people within the church are struggling, how many people are going through difficult situations, and sometimes our circumstances feel like they'll never change. And the Lord meets a man by the pool of Bethesda. And this man has been struggling for almost 40 years in the same condition, feeling like there is no way out, no way of escape, no hope of any help whatsoever, until he met the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1 of chapter 5 it says, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this time together today. We thank you for the opportunities to testify of all that you've done for us. Father, we recognize the needs within the body of Christ today, Lord. We recognize the needs within your church. And Father, we pray that you'd help us. We pray that you'd help those who are struggling, Father, those who are not here, whether it's through ill health, whether it's through excuse, whether it's through backsliding, whether it's through a spiritual problem, Lord. We just pray that you would undertake today, Lord. We ask that you would speak to hearts. Lord, convict where needed, Lord. Restore where needed. Comfort and encourage where needed, Lord. And help us today to recognize the fact that whatever we face in life, we don't face it alone because we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Father, maybe we spiritually are blind and halt and crippled, as it were, Lord, lying by the pool of mercy, yet failing to rise and take up our bed and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray you help us today, Lord. Help us to walk worthy of the vocation with which we've been called, and help us to be the believer we need to be in this day and age. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We know that there are three feasts that people were meant to attend in Jerusalem each year. That was the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. We saw in John's Gospel how these feasts had been moved or changed from Feasts of the Lord. They were no longer the Feast of Jehovah or Jehovah's Passover. They had become the Feast of the Jews or the Jews' Passover. And here we see another Feast of the Jews. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem again at this time, and he has an encounter with a man by the pool of Bethesda. The first thing we see is the market. It says in Jerusalem that the sheep market was a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. The word Bethesda means the house of mercy. But for some, it had become the house of misery. This pool was situated where there were intermittent mineral springs, and there was a moving of the water. An angel would descend, and we see that the waters were moved, and when the people went down into the water, it says that they were healed of the diseases. There were five porches which were covered. The early were sick, they awaited the opportunity to go into this healing pool, and the Lord is attracted to one particular man. If you like, it's where omnipotence meets impotence. The sheep market was just inside the sheep gate in the Jerusalem wall. We see that in Nehemiah 3:1. And this is the gate through which the lambs were brought to be offered a sacrifice of very worshippers in the temple. Those who travelled to Jerusalem from other cities at Passover could not bring their own lambs or their own animals for fear of contamination along the way, so they had the opportunity to buy a lamb at the sheep market. And then we see the multitude. It says in verse 3 that in those days, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Here we see that there was a great number of sick people, impotent people, lying by on the porches by the sheep gate. Their condition speaks of physical blindness and paralysis. But it also represents a picture of lost souls blinded by the devil and crippled by the sin in the world today. These sick people were waiting for a moving of the water in the pool. This moving of the water was not an earthly thing. There was no healing virtue in the water until a certain time. There were the blind who could not see, there were the lame who could not walk, there were the withered who were deformed and paralyzed, and there were so many who were poor and begging. The identity of these had no bearing on their being healed. No one received special attention because of who he or she was. There was no special support or interest groups that went from port to port through any kind of social assistance. No one had a particular advantage over anybody else. Being wealthy had no advantage. Being good had no advantage. Having a goodly heritage had no advantage. Being the poorest, there was no advantage. Every person is in the same condition. And that's what it is with sin. Every person is in the same condition, regardless of heritage, regardless of wealth, regardless of position, regardless of material possessions. No man can claim any advantage when coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said when he opened his mouth, he said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Every single person has the same access to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a level playing field when it comes to the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter who we are or where we are or what we've done in the past. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and every single person needs to come to Christ for salvation. When we were in Israel, we were told that the way in which a person becomes a Christian is by being told by their parents. That it's simply a tradition handed down, an oral tradition handed down to us. That's utter nonsense. The only way a person becomes a Christian is by trusting Christ as their Savior. Regardless of who you are and regardless of who your parents are, God is no respecter of person. All must come by the way of the cross. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And then we are introduced to a man. It says that this man, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. No name is given to this man. It is a certain man. Now we don't know who he is, we don't know what his background was, we don't know what his details are, we don't know what his social standing was. It just says that it was a certain man, it could be any man. And Jesus came to him. John 6:44 says, "No man cometh to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus asked him a really odd question. "Wilt thou be made whole?" in verse 6. Wilt thou be made whole? This man had lost all hope of ever being healed. This man had lost all hope of ever getting his withered limbs, as it were. Well, this man had lost all hope. He was disabled. He'd lived in this infirmity for 38 years. He'd been sick longer than the Lord Jesus Christ had been upon the earth. The Bible says that this man had an infirmity. That word means that he had some sort of weakness or fullness. It prevented him from walking about with other men. This man had possibly been born with this infirmity, but it was incurable. And this man's state, if you like, pictures the fact that the man has an inability to redeem himself. He couldn't get himself to the pool. He couldn't get into the waters. There was nothing he could do to fix the situation himself. And that's the spiritual condition of mankind. Man has a disease that is incurable. We're all born in sin, for we're by one man sin entered the world and death by sin. So all have sinned. We're all born into sin. And that disease is incurable. Without the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody will die with that dreadful disease. For the wages of sin is death. And there's no expectations. For 38 years, this man has lived in this condition. Aren't you thankful for the moments when God intervenes in our lives? I'm thankful for the day that the Lord intervened in my life and change my life. I dread to think where I would be now if it wasn't for the fact that the Lord saved me. I dread to think what I would be doing now if it wasn't for the fact that the Lord intervened in my life and saved my soul. Aren't you glad for those moments where the Lord steps in? Even after we're saved, I'm thankful for the moments in my life where the Lord intervenes, where the Lord steps in, where the Lord makes his presence known in our lives. This man was diseased, he was disabled, he was desperate. 38 years. I'm going to say this because how many of you are like, wait then? Can I say this? We are the worst people in the world for wait. How many of you are like Kieran? British people, I have my eyes open every time I go away. British people are the only people that kill. You know, we would get on our guides' nerves because every day was quite busy. And we were up on top of Masada and there was lots of people about. So you're trying to get the best spots for the guy to talk to you. And we were British, we're like, yeah, after you. And the guy was going nuts, he's like, what are you doing? Just letting everything through. All the German people are cutting in front of you all the other people are like pushing their way through to the front and we're like, yeah, after you. We'd see somebody standing, we'd just go behind them and queue up. Like, what are you queuing for? I don't know, but I'm British, that's what we do, we queue. And here's the mad thing. We love queuing and we hate it at the same time. Because we don't want to wait. How many of you done this? You stood in the queue. 10 items or less. You're counting the items of the person in front of you. And you're like going, they got 12. They got 12. And this says 10 items or less. Well, without somebody walks up to the crawl, and you just lose your mind completely. What is going on? But we don't like queuing. We like queuing. Yeah, I think we like the aspect of queuing because we like forming orderly lines. But we don't like the weight of queuing. How many of us would be happy enough that Dad took Mum to the hospital yesterday and he phoned up and said, right, I'm just taking Mum to the hospital. I'll speak to you in 5 hours. Because you know there's going to be a wait. Can you imagine if Dad phoned me yesterday and said, right, just off to the hospital now, the waiting time is 38 years. I should really be okay with that. Dad's a patient man. We don't like queuing. We don't like waiting for stuff. Can you imagine if the Lord said to us, I'll answer your prayer, and I'll answer it in 38 years' time. Would we be happy to wait for that? We want the answer now. We want to know why we're going through what we're going through now. We want to know why we're facing what we're facing now. We want the answer to that problem now. We want that problem to be rectified now. And sometimes God says you're just going to have to wait. We don't like waiting. We don't want to wait. We want it to be fixed now. You know, if we've got hurt with somebody, we want that. We want that to be rectified now. If we're waiting for a test result to come through, we want that test result to come through now. If we're struggling with an illness, we want that illness to be fixed now. We don't want to wait. It's hard to wait. I wonder how this man felt after 38 years. Maybe he'd sat out poor for 38 years. And every time the water moved, he just couldn't get down quick enough. There was nobody there to them. Maybe he saw other people getting healed. And maybe he saw other people going down into the pool. Maybe people who sat next to him, they'd only been there. A week. 10 days. A month. Maybe he saw other people going ahead of him thinking, that's not fair. You know, oftentimes we see other people's prayers being answered. Instead of being encouraged by that, I'm thinking, praise God, we get... Well, that's not fair. Why has God answered their prayer that way? Why hasn't God answered my prayer? Why has God intervened in their situation and hasn't intervened in my situation? Why has God fixed that issue but hasn't fixed my issue? And we can either become discouraged and we can either stay away from church and we can get out of the Word and we can get away from God and we can stop praying and stop seeking and stop asking, or we can simply trust God. Because can I say this to you, there comes a point in our lives where we simply do not understand why we're going through what we're going through, and there's nothing we can do, and we come to the end of our tether, and we come to the end of our situation, and we simply have to say, God, I'm just going to trust you because I can't cope with this on my own. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. We might not have all the answers we want. We might not have all our prayers answered the way we think they should. But that's not a reason to give up. That's not a reason to stop trusting the Lord. That's not a reason for us to turn our backs on Him. 38 years, this man had waited by the pool. He was disappointed. The impotent man in verse 7 answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another stepper be down before me." He tried to make his way to the pool. This man is trying to prepare himself. He's trying to put things right. But his efforts, and his efforts are failing. Can I say this, that our efforts will fail? When we try and, make sense of everything that's going on in our lives, our efforts will fail. When man tries to please God to get to heaven, that effort fails. When we try to work things out, our efforts fail. And we ought not to be disappointed today. Can I say this? That Christ will put things right. It doesn't always mean that he takes the situation away from us. It doesn't always mean that He makes the situation perfect. It just simply means that He gives us the grace we need when we need it, to either face the situation with a different attitude or to simply get us through the valley onto the other side. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." This man was desperate. Maybe he thought, "If I don't get into this pool now, I'll never get in." Time will run out for everybody. Every unsaved person will say no for the last time at some point in their lives. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, the amount of times I've heard people say about becoming a Christian when they're older, "But the time's just not right." Can I say this at death? The time is not going to be right. It's going to be too late. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out that this world is in a mess. You know, if people just simply read some of the New Testament, see what Paul said to Timothy, what this world would be like in the last days, they'd recognize that those are the days we're living in right now. Without a shadow of a doubt. You may as well be reading tomorrow's newspaper. This world is in a mess. This world is not going to get better. Man doesn't live forever. But if they trust Christ as their Saviour, man can live for eternity. Man will say no for the last time at some point. But then we see the Messiah. When Jesus saw him in verse 6, lying, and knew there had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Can I say this? If there is nothing about me that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't know, there's no sin that we can hide from Him that He doesn't know. There's no issue that we face that He doesn't know about. There's no battle that we go through that He doesn't realize we're facing. There's nothing we go through in life that He is completely unaware of. He knows what we're facing. He loves us in spite of who we are. He loves us in spite of our faults and our flaws and our failings. He loves us despite the fact that we're failing constantly. He loves us despite the fact that we've turned our backs on Him more than we'd like to think of. He loves us despite who we are. Why? Because of what He's done for us. And He comes to this man where he is and asks, for all intents and purposes, one of the darkest questions you probably think could ever be asked. "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to be healed? And you might think, why ask such a ridiculous question? Well, maybe not everybody around the pool wanted to be healed. There were some that were so accustomed to that lifestyle that they were happy to stay that way. they were semi and made a living, you know, if they would get into the world and they got healed, then suddenly they would have to start working for a living. They could no longer rely upon the handouts that they would receive from the passers by. Some people just thrive upon the fact that people felt sorry for them. They liked it. So maybe not everybody wanted to be healed around the pool. Jesus says to those who are lost today, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be saved? And unfortunately, they're those who enjoy their lifestyle too much for Jesus to change it. Well, no, I don't want to be saved. I don't want to give up the lifestyle that I've got because I like it. Because there is pleasure in sin for a season. Some people enjoy thinking that they are good enough to get to heaven. That's their pride. Well, no, who are you to tell me that I need to be saved? Who are you to tell me that I'm a sinner? How dare you judge me? I'm as good as the next person. Some people don't think that anybody can heal the sins that they've done in their lives, that they're too wicked for heaven, that they're too wicked for forgiveness, that they don't deserve that kind of forgiveness. Some think that they're fine just earning their own way to heaven, and they're exactly, they're okay with being good, moral, and kind. I spoke to somebody this week about that very thing. As long as I treat other people right, God will see to it that I'm okay. Well, that's not what the Bible says. If we don't come the right way, there is no other way. There's one way to heaven, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But some people are happy where they are. So you might think that that was a daft question for the Lord to ask the man at the pool. But there were some at the pool who didn't want to be healed. You know, some people thrive on certain kinds of situations. Some people like it when people feel sorry for them. I've never had anybody feel sorry for me. Ever. Never, ever. And there were times when people should have. But some people thrive on that. You know, do we really want those prayers answered? Sometimes the Lord comes up to us and says, wilt thou be made whole? Can I say this? There's stuff that we've got to do as well. When the Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, there were two things he told the people to do. Roll the stone away. Why? Because they could do it. It was within their strength to do it. The Lord Jesus Christ could have rolled the stone away. You know, he calmed the storm. He quietened down the wind. He calmed the waves. He could have just moved the stone away before calling Lazarus forward. But it was within their strength and within their power to do it. And then when Lazarus did come forward, what did he say? Get those grave clothes off him. Well, why didn't the Lord remove the grave clothes as he was calling Lazarus forward? Because it was well within their strength and power to do it. There are things that we can do in our Christian walk. We can pray. You know, if the Bible tells us to do something in our situation, then let's do it. If the Bible tells us to wait, let's wait. If the Bible tells us to go, let's go. There are certain things and certain situations we face that we can get on with things ourselves rather than mope and feeling sorry for ourselves. So it's not a stupid question when the Lord said to him, wilt thou be made whole? I understand that the Lord has already given us forgiveness. You know, the Lord didn't just pat this man on the head and say, yeah, everything's going to be alright, just keep your chin up. Christ knew that this man could not do it himself. And he needed that response to say, I can't do it on my own. Can I say that the Lord is walking by today? He's died for our sin. He's taken our guilt. He's taken our offense upon his own body. He says to the lost, wilt thou be made whole? All they need to do is accept that free gift of salvation. But he says the same thing to us as well. Do I need to intervene? in the situation you face? Are you doing the things that you ought to be doing before I step in? And then we see his mercy. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Only by his mercy can people have the opportunity to be made whole. The subject of the scripture is a pool, a place of healing. The pool is called Bethesda. It's a place of mercy, the house of mercy. It has five portals. Five in biblical numerology is the number of mercy. This is where we see the Lord step in and grant his mercy to somebody who, for all intents and purposes, didn't deserve it. The Lord says, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." What a strange command to be given to somebody who has probably never walked in their lives. What a strange command to be given to an impotent man. He's been disabled for 38 years, but that's a divine word, and that is divine power. It was a command of the disease to be gone. It was a command for the body to be strong. It was a command to get up and walk. It was a directive to see if this man believed thy faith. Think about it. How long does it take a baby to learn to walk? They've got to develop their muscles. You ever seen a wildlife program where you see a giraffe being born or something? And then they walk for the first time and they're all over the place. If you've never seen that, if you've ever seen Bambi and you've seen Bambi on the ice, you get the idea. What faith it would have taken for this man to just get up and start walking. Those muscles weren't developed. Let me ask you this question. How many of you ever got up in the morning and had a dead leg? And your leg has been dead and you get up out of the bed without thinking about it and suddenly keel over. You ever had a part of your body fall asleep? I also remember Tova telling us the story when they had the fruit and veg shop up in Ferndale, and he'd go down to Besson Road Market like 3 o'clock every morning, and he stopped in the Action Guys they used to be in Enniseer before they, or Watstown, or between Enniseer and Watstown before they put the bypass in and that footbridge. And he called in the Action Guys for it, and he needed a receipt for petrol, but he'd woken the guy up, and the guy had fallen asleep on his hand. So Tova tapped the window to ask if he could have a receipt. But the guy's hand, because he'd slept, he couldn't pick the pen up to write the receipt because the hand was completely dead. You ever had anything like that? Like pins and needles, and for the moment you can't get your... This man had never walked. He'd been in that condition for 38 years. What I'm saying that to say this, what faith it took for the man to simply stand up and start to walk, to take Christ at his word. How convicting for us, who in hindsight have the complete revelation of God's word in our hands, and yet we still fail to take Christ at his word. We still fail to take God at his word. We still fail when God gives us a command in the scripture. We question it and we doubt it. When God tells us to do something, we make an excuse as to why we ought not to do it. When God tells us not to do something, we bend the rules and we kind of get away around it so we can come up with some kind of clause so we can justify why we do something God's word clearly tells us not to do. It would be great if we were just obedient to God when we should be. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. The word walk means walk around. Be made known. Everybody around that pool would have known who that guy was. Everybody would have known that he didn't get down into the water. How is he walking around? Can I say this, that when we face the most difficult times of our lives, that's the time in the darkest moments of our lives when our light can shine the brightest. And that's when the Lord can say, walk around. Let people see your testimony. Let people see your life. Let people see what I've done in your life. Whether or not I've changed the situation, let them see how real I am. Walk around. Whoa, people recognize the fact when a lost sinner comes to know Christ as their Savior and there's a change in their life. But what after that? What advertisement are we for the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we doing? Do people see our lives and think, yes, that's what's missing in my life. That's what I need when I face that situation. Or do people look at us and think, well, yeah, you kind of up and down, you know, and sometimes you're up here and sometimes you're down there, and sometimes you're in church, sometimes you're not, sometimes you talk about the Lord, sometimes you're not, you know, sometimes your language is kind of the same language I use. What advertisement do we for the Lord Jesus Christ? Tells the man to walk around. Take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The message is immediately. For 38 years this man has been unable to walk. And immediately the man acted in faith. Can I say this with the Lord as a message for each and every one of us today? Can you imagine what would have happened if this man refused to obey the Lord? Can you imagine if this man had turned around and said, sounds too good to be true. Oh, I can't believe it. How many times do we refuse to believe the Lord? Do we refuse to trust His Word? Do we refuse to trust Him a bit? If this man had refused to do as the Lord said, can I say this, he would have died on that porch. In the same condition that he was for those 38 years, that's how he would have died. Think of the joy and gladness that flowed through this man when he made the effort and he got up and he was able to walk around. And it's the same as salvation, just one step and God does the rest. God said, come and do me all you have labored with. People refuse and they continue to sit in their sinful condition. And the same with Christians. The Lord comes alongside us and says, come on, take up thy bed and walk. Get up. You've not been saved to sit by this pool. We need to be the right kind of advert for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we being obedient to His Word? Are we trusting in the Lord with all our hearts, or are we leaning on our own understanding? Are we trying to figure things out ourselves? Are we trying to work out the why of what we're going through? Why are we going through this? Why are we facing this? Why, or are we just simply trusting the Lord and saying, Lord, I have no clue why this has come into my life. Will you give me the faith to get through it? Will you give me the strength to make it another day? Give me the help I need to be the Christian I have to be in this situation so that I can let your light shine. Can I say this morning, church, rise, take up your bed and walk. We've been in this condition for far too long. The Lord's not saved us for us to sit by this pool in misery, complaining how everybody else's prayers are being answered and ours are not. Let's be in our place. Let's be where we need to be. Walk around so people can see the change in our lives. That we face situations and difficulties different to the way in which a lost person faces those same situations. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together today. We just pray, Lord, that you would help those who have a specific need here this morning. Father, we recognize the fact that there are many within the church who are struggling, who are hurting, who are facing times of difficulty and trials, and we just ask for your help, Lord. We ask for you to undertake in such a wonderful way. Father, maybe you are asking the question today, wilt thou be made whole? There are things that we can do, there are things that we ought to do. Father, most importantly, we need to trust you. We need to be obedient to your word. Help us, Lord, to be the believers we have to be in this day and age. Father, if there's someone here this morning or is listening to this message online or Father, I just pray that if there will be yet a trust Christ as they say yet, that something has been said in this message from your word, is there in a lost and full state waiting, as it were, for things to improve in their lives. Father, I just pray that they would recognize the fact that it takes the Lord Jesus Christ to intervene, for their sins to be forgiven, for their home to be heaven, for them to be able to break off those shackles of sin and that disability, if you like, of a sinful life, to be able to walk around in newness of life. So Father, I pray that you would help us today. For those who are lost, help them to come to know Christ as their Savior. For those who are struggling in their Christian walk, maybe we've gone back to that pool, help us to rise up, take up our bed and walk. Help us to be the advert and the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to be. For we ask it in his most precious and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together, 518. And we'll stand as we sing. Amen.
Close this in